श्री चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदं मह्यं ददाति स्वापतन्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमा ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनित्यनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पश्चात्यादेशतारिणे नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वती इति नामिने श्रीवार्षवानभिदेवी धायताय कृपब्दये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञान दायने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमध्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिता श्रीगौराकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्ते ते नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्रीमूर्तये दिनधारिणे रूपानुगाविरुधाप सिद्धान्तद्वन्तहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बारसम्बोधे पदम्भोजायते नमः नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनाम्ने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपानुगावरायते गौरवीर्भावभूमेस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रिया वैष्णवा सर्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महाबलन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नामने गौरत्वेशे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपास्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्तक्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णाकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोस्तुते जयथां सुरथाव पंगोर मम मंदा मथेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वा पदं भोजाओ राधा मदन मोहनाओ दिव्याद बृंदरण्य कल्पद्रुमाधा श्रीमान रत्नाकर सिंहासनस्थाओ श्री श्री राधा शील गोविंद देवाओ पृष्ठालिभि सेव्य मनोस्मराणि श्रीमान रास रसारंभी वंशीवाता तथा स्थिता खर्षान् वेणु स्वनायर्गोपीर् गोपीनाथा श्रियेष्टुनः तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा. All those devotees who like to hear this lecture on their FM receive radio receivers, they can kindly listen to the lectures in English at 102 megahertz. All those devotees who want to hear the Russian translation of this lecture can tune their receivers to 89 megahertz. वो सारे भक्त जो इस अंग्रेजी प्रवचन का हिंदी में अनुवाद सुनना चाहते हैं, कृपा करके अपने FM रिसीवर को 94 megahertz पर ट्यून कर दीजिए. All those devotees who would like to also take benefit of FM receiver facility can kindly contact Jai Nitai Prabhu at the registration counter. You can get your FM radios there. वो भक्त जो FM रेडियो लेना चाहते हैं, कृपा करके जय निताय प्रभु से संपर्क करें रजिस्ट्रेशन काउंटर पे. हरे कृष्ण.
I sincerely welcome all of the assembled Vaishnavas to our yearly Pune Yatra. This year, something very special the brahmacharis of Sri Radha Gopinath temple have been coming here for several weeks to help organize more developed devotional service toward the Vaishnavas. You will notice that they created a new kitchen on the rooftop of the garage. They have forklift and a conveyor elevator that they built to bring up and down the Lord's prasad. And the pandal is one-third the size larger. Much hard work, tremendous amount of energy, where the grihastas and the brahmacharis are united to serve the devotees. And I think that the efforts in preparing for the yatra this year, which are more than ever before, set the mood for this year's Pune Yatra. How the best way to please the spiritual masters, the Pancha Tattva, and Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, is to be united in the service of the Vaishnavas. There was nothing that disturbed Srila Prabhupada's mind more that when he saw the devotees quarreling or just not cooperating together, when he saw material envy or complacency between the Vaishnavas, and what brought Srila Prabhupada the greatest happiness is when he took note of how devotees had loving relationships with each other. Great unity, where they were inspiring one another to hear about Krishna, to chant the holy names of Krishna, to serve the Vaishnavas, and to preach the glories of the holy name to others. Our spiritual life is simply dependent on how we please Krishna, Guru, and the Vaishnavas. It is really the only consideration that is relevant to our Krishna consciousness. If devotees offend one another in order to do something wonderful for the spiritual master, whatever they are doing, they are undoing in the process. Srila Prabhupada explained there is Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas, an immediate result. Shreyas is when we have a vision into the future and we coordinate our lives accordingly. Unless there are proper devotional relationships amongst Vaishnavas, proper behavior amongst Vaishnavas, to work in cooperation in the service of Guru and Gauranga, then whatever we achieve will soon fall. And we have seen it historically as well as in present times. Projects can be built, big results can be achieved, but if they are not built on a strong foundation, eventually it all collapses. It has to collapse. Any architect or engineer knows foundation is essential. But you don't see the foundation. How many of you go to a beautiful temple or a wonderful building or somebody's home and say, "What a wonderful foundation you have"? I don't think anybody but an architect or an engineer has ever said such a thing in world history. Yes? When a building falls, you say what a bad foundation it has. But when it stands, you don't notice, you don't talk about, you don't even think about the foundation. But what cannot be seen sustains and maintains what we see. The foundation of the Krishna consciousness movement is very much how devotees are associating with one another for the purpose of inspiring and enlivening faith in each other, in chanting the holy names, hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna, and performing service to Krishna. It is the basis. Therefore, Krishna tells in Gita, there is no one more dear to me than one who repeats his message to the devotees. Because when the association of devotees is strong, then it will have a powerful effect of attracting, like an irresistible magnet, the conditioned souls. Because Krishna is irresistibly attractive. And where devotees are sharing Krishna together in love and trust, Krishna is most manifest there. And that will attract the hearts of the conditioned souls. Many of our centers in Maharashtra, we had our December book distribution marathon this year. And together, our devotees gave out more of Srila Prabhupada's books than we ever did in our own history. Of course, other temples do more than us, but that's very healthy for us. Our enthusiasm should not simply to be the best, but our enthusiasm is to please Guru and Krishna. And how the congregation and how the sadhus and the ashram work together, the congregation amongst themselves working together, the devotees in the ashram working together, devotees in the ashram with the congregation working together. It lifted everyone's spirits, enthusiasm, and devotion. And through the process, there was such empowerment. Similarly, in our annual drama festival, the devotees in these dramas, they practice, I think, for several months sometimes. Except for Govinda Prabhu's group, they practice a few days. But he has a special shakti to empower them all. They, for months, weeks, and it's really amazing. Giving so much time, so much energy, making so many arrangements for one performance. This year, two. Except Govinda Prabhu, see. They hid for the second one. Now, the most important thing about the drama festival is not the performance. That's just a byproduct of what we're really trying to achieve. Krishna tells us we should be attached to our service. We should not be attached to the results of our service. The service for the drama participants is to perform the best possible performance for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, the spiritual masters, and Krishna. It's simply Vaishnav Seva. Yes? There's not even anybody else coming except Vaishnavas. And the Vaishnavas mostly all know the stories anyway. To give them pleasure. That's all. And how so much energy, so much attention,
writing scripts, rewriting scripts, changing their minds and writing a whole new script, and then another script, and then finding the characters, and then performing, and getting the costumes, and getting the props, and everything else, all to serve the Vaishnavas. And the devotees who are opening their homes and giving prasad, it creates spiritual relationships. Otherwise, most of these people, they would perform their work and meet casually on Sunday and say Hari Bol. Well, here they're really having deep relationships, and the relationship is based on serving Vaishnavas. It's dynamic. It's a purifying experience. But what's most important is it builds and fortifies the foundation of our efforts to serve and please Krishna. Yes, it is so wonderful. If we read the lives of the great saints who are the descendants of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parampara, we will find that Vaishnav Seva, service to the Vaishnavas, is topmost. Otherwise, how will we chant the holy names in such a way that Krishna will be pleased? Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he described the three essential principles of real religion. Service to the Vaishnavas, compassion to the fallen souls, and chanting of the holy names. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's essential message. Everything is focused toward fulfilling these three purposes. And Vaishnav Seva, it is very deep. It is the most profound subject matter, because it's the eternal activity of the spiritual world. Serving Krishna and serving his devotees. It is said about Narottam Das Thakur at his Khetri festival, he installed six sets of deities. And how he worshipped those deities, how he arranged elaborate offerings, aartis, dressing, bathing, darshans. But he was even more enthusiastic to train his disciples and to personally, himself, serve the Vaishnavas. Because the devotees, their pleasure is the actual means by which Krishna will the deity will be pleased with us. Seeing so many devotees really, really using their intelligence, their efforts, their skills, everything to make this Punyatra festival wonderful, to serve the Vaishnavas, is so fulfilling to our hearts. All of you, please. Not all at once, though. See the arrangements they made for this kitchen. Take a ride on the elevator. Registered, there are 3,200 devotees coming this year. How Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Radha Priya Devi and the family working together with brahmacharis made such an amazing kitchen. I was up there today. It's a more efficient kitchen than practically any temple I've ever seen. What to speak of these restaurants? It's unbelievable how it's engineered. Electrical outlets and for cooking for thousands and thousands of people, three times a day. And they made this huge elevator for the pots. And they got a whole forklift for bringing up and down more pots. They worked for weeks and weeks and weeks. They invested a lot of money, a lot of energy. In fact, the kitchen and the elevator was engineered by IIT engineers. Amazing. I'm developing great appreciation for IIT, actually. Their engineering education is fructifying through the highest possible activity, service to the Vaishnavas. It's wonderful to see. But what's most wonderful is all that effort is for 3.5 days. How many of you would spend weeks and weeks of many, many manpower hours, a lot of money, to make a kitchen for 3 days? And then the rest of the time, the rest of the year, there's nobody here. It's idle. The most the family comes. Now, a materialist person would say, this is illogical. Doesn't make sense. Why wasting so much time, so much money for 3 days? But from a spiritual perspective, it makes the most sense. When you water the tree, the whole tree, the root of the tree, the whole tree flourishes. When you serve the Vaishnavas, Krishna's pleased. When Krishna's pleased, our life is perfect. Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita in less than an hour. Yes? But what did that less than an hour do to the world for all time to come? Krishna sees our sincerity. We should learn from this. Matchita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katyantashtamam nityantushyanti charamantija. Krishna tells us in Sri Bhagavad Gita how devotees' relationship, enlivening one another, inspiring one another, by helping each other to become more attached to hearing and chanting about Him. When I went up to the kitchen today and I talked to some of the leading devotees who really, really worked hard in planning and organizing, working very hard too, hundreds of devotees cutting and stirring, very, very big business people and PhDs. They're just taking peas out of pods. Amazing. Usually they're counting money. Here they're taking peas out of pods. Wonderful sight. I was praising them. All this effort just to try to serve the devotees the best possible prasad as efficiently as possible. In somebody's house. It's not an ordinary thing to come to somebody's house and feed 3,200 people prasad several times a day. When I saw all the arrangements, I was praising them. And one of the brahmacharis said to me, the whole purpose of this is just so that devotees could be happy to sit and listen to Krishna Katha and chant the holy names. That's all. To facilitate a very happy spiritual atmosphere for the devotees to enjoy each other's association while hearing the message of Krishna and chanting his holy name. When this attention is given to developing Vaishnava relationships with a spirit of servitude, then any project is infallible. Forever. As long as we have this consciousness, Krishna will protect, Krishna will empower. That is his promise. Many obstacles will certainly come on the spiritual path. But if we have faith in the Vaishnavas and faith in the holy name, Krishna will help us to overcome all obstacles. But without the Vaishnavas, it is very, very difficult, almost impossible, for us to maintain our Krishna consciousness, maintain our enthusiasm to chant the holy name when traumas, crises, and obstacles come in our life. I was just thinking, Lord Chaitanya has taught us Trinadapi Sunichena Tador Iba Sehishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. That if we really want to taste the nectar of the holy name, we must learn to be humble like a blade of grass. Tolerant like a tree. Tolerance and humility are interrelated. In a spiritual sense, they cannot be separated. To offer all respect to others and expect none in return. We have to be very humble to do that. Queen Kunti prays, Deepada Shantu Tashashva Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. She's praying for calamities because she's fearful that if everything is going in a pleasant way, or according to our expectations, the tendency is to forget you, Krishna. Or even if I remember you, it's with complacency. But when there's serious calamity, when there's danger, either impending danger or active danger, then if we have some sincerity, we will cry out for Krishna. We all have this experience. When things are just coasting along nicely, we chant our rounds, we dance in kirtan. But when there's really some serious danger in our life, or a major crisis that has come upon us, then we understand the urgency, the necessity that only Krishna could save us. Now let us put these two ideas together. Trinadapi sunichena advipada shantu tashashva. And see how they are so much one and the same. When great obstacles come upon us, we're talking about the kind of obstacles that are beyond our control. When Kunti with Devi was praying, the calamities that came upon her were completely out of her control. There was nothing she could do about it. Except cry out Krishna's name and pray for Krishna's mercy. Yes? We become proud until we're put in a situation when calamities humble us. That's how, in a calamitous situation, we cry out from Krishna with our hearts, because we're humbled by the situation. We know absolutely that I need help. I'm completely dependent on higher powers. I can't do it on my own. Until you come to that state, you can't, with great feeling, raise your arms and cry out the name of God. As long as it's under our control, I can fix it, no problem. Hare Krishna. But when we realize how it's spinning out of control, it's beyond me. There's nothing else I can do. I have to work my hardest, I have to try my best, but I know the only way I could be saved is Krishna's mercy. Do you see the connection? Real calamities humble us. They make us fully aware that there is a necessity, there is an urgent need to cry out for Krishna's help. Now, sometimes devotees ask the question, does that mean we have to be put in emergency crisis calamities in order to chant the holy name sincerely? No. Not if you're humble. If you're humble, you're already in that condition without calamities coming. The calamities are meant to humble us. Because it is only in that humble state of mind that we could call out Krishna's name from our heart. We often use example of Draupadi. She was a great queen. How many of you ladies would be a little proud if you had, for your husband, Yudhisthira? Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadev. And all of them would do anything and everything for you. And all of them were completely attached to pleasing you. Would you be a little proud? Today, women are proud if their husband could pay the rent. Or take them on a vacation to New York. But when Dushasana pulled off her sari, and she saw none of her five husbands were going to help her, and even Bhishma, grandfather, was not going to help her, and she had no strength herself to help, when she was in a totally helpless condition, she was totally humble. She was completely humble. She knew that only Krishna could save me. I'm completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Then she raised her arms and she cried out the holy names. Krishna was there to save her. In the same way, if we chant the holy names in a really humble state of mind, Krishna will manifest himself fully within his holy name. The chanting of the holy names, whether it is japa or kirtan, it should be pronounced correctly with the lips and the tongue. It should be concentrated upon very carefully by the mind. But the name should come not from the lips or from the mind, it should come from the heart. When we chant from our heart with feeling, and we pronounce it with our lips and our mind and our tongue, and it enters into our ears, and we concentrate on our mind, then we become absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna is there. But in order for it to come from the heart, there must be this sincere humility. Prabhupada says we should chant like a baby cries for its mother. Now, there are different types of crying. Because I've given many Srimad Bhagavatam classes, I've witnessed many different types of crying of babies. And the amazing thing is when babies cry, even I cry out to Krishna, save me. Sometimes the baby just wants attention. They're fine. But they just don't like when the mother and everybody's looking at other things other than them. Yes? What about me? So they know it works. Everyone's, you know, just doing their duties or talking, whatever. And the baby wants attention. So it starts crying and immediately attention is there. But that's not the type of crying that Prabhupada is speaking about. Prabhupada is speaking about when that baby is feeling serious danger. When that baby is feeling serious need. It's in a helpless state. It needs food.
It has to have food. It's just the stomach, the whole system is crying out for food, and there's no way it can even express itself. Oh, and there's some impediment, danger that the baby feels is going to threaten its life, and it's absolutely helpless. It can't do anything except cry for its mother. That's a totally humble state. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. I need help. I can't do it myself. I'm nothing. My mother is everything. That is the baby's consciousness when it sincerely cries for the mother. And that is the way we must cry for Krishna. That is humility. When we chant in that spirit, then our chanting comes from the heart. And it is that type of chanting, when we hear the holy name that is coming from our hearts, when it's chanted with feeling and sincerity, that will awaken love, prema bhakti. Service attitude is based on humility. A real service attitude means, I am your servant. It doesn't just mean that I serve, but it's the attitude in which we serve. We often quote Srila Prabhupada, Krishna doesn't see the thing that you offer. He sees the purpose in which it is offered. The greatest personalities consider themselves genuinely to be the servant of everyone. I was just reading in one of our Vaishnava literatures. It's explained that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates and his descendants, some are Nitya Siddhas and some are Sadhana Siddhas. A Nitya Siddha is one who has descended from the spiritual world to participate in the Lord's pastimes on this earth planet. A Sadhana Siddha is a conditioned soul who becomes perfect through the process of sadhana, hearing and chanting, the nine processes of devotional service. But it is explained that it's very, very difficult to understand the difference. Because the Nitya Siddhas generally will practice sadhana very, very strictly. They don't think that they're Nitya Siddhas. They don't present themselves as Nitya Siddhas. But one thing that they all have in common, the Sadhana Siddhas and the Nitya Siddhas, is their humble service attitude, their complete dependence on the Lord. Why? They come to this earth simply to show us the way. There is no other way in the age of Kali to attain pure devotional service other than the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The holy name has descended from Goloka to bring us back home to Goloka. But how important it is for us to understand how to chant the holy names. That is the all in all, the everything in Krishna consciousness. How to chant the holy names in a way that Krishna will deliver us.
As we're chanting our japa, we should listen so carefully to the pronunciation of the names. We should hear. Prabhupada says the mouth creates the sound, the ears, the mind through the ears is intently absorbed. Japa is about absorption in the holy name. Intense absorption. And kirtan is about intense absorption. Bhajan, intense absorption in the holy name. And all of our activities in Krishna consciousness, if they are performed properly, creates the humble service attitude by which that sound vibration is coming from the core of our hearts. Param drishtva nivartate. The only way we could substantially and sustainably overcome the temptations of Maya is to develop a higher taste, especially the taste for chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Puna Yatra is like a family reunion, devotees coming together from all different places. Tomorrow we will get the statistics from Krishna Chandra Prabhu, from which places so many devotees have come. He told me something like from 40 different cities, devotees have gathered from various parts of the world. We come together simply for this purpose, to hear the glories of Krishna, to chant the holy names of Krishna together, and to develop very close friendships, relationships with each other through humble servitude toward each other, so that we can really purify ourselves and purify the world as we chant Hare Krishna together. We're making advancement in Krishna consciousness to the extent we find that we really want to be the servant of everyone. To the extent you want to be served, it means you're without Krishna. To the extent you want to be praised, you are spiritually weak. To the degree you are enthusiastic to praise other Vaishnavas, that is a sign that Krishna is with you and he's very pleased with you. So when there are 3,200 people living in close quarters, sometimes overcrowded quarters and everything like that, the tendency is we may get disturbed, we may get annoyed. Things are just out of our control sometimes. That's very healthy. To analyze our own hearts and respond. What does it mean to be the servant of everyone? Someone else's happiness is more important than mine. Someone else's comfort is more important than mine. Someone else's being inspired and enthused is more important than me. In giving, we receive. Relationships of love and trust can only be to the extent that each and every one of us takes the responsibility of being a selfless servant. It's about selfless service. Now, in the world today, very, very educated, influential people within society, they cannot tolerate this idea of selfless service. Humility, a little sprinkled in, makes a person attractive. But too much, it's demeaning. People are concerned about me, I, and mine. It's the I generation, according to psychiatrists and psychologists. It's about feeling good about ourselves. That will make you happy. But there's a problem. How could you feel good about yourself if you don't know who you are? It's all based on illusion. I feel good about myself. I look pretty. I look handsome. But that beauty is going to wither away by the power of time. Srila Prabhupada, quoting Krishna, attacked the misconception of the bodily concept of life from the very onset. It's the cause of all suffering. It's the cause of all illusion and bondage. This feeling good about yourself is useless spiritually if you don't know who you are. We are the eternal soul. To feel good about yourself means I'm the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the servants, Anu, the insignificant, tiny little servant of the servant of the servant of all other servants of Krishna. That's the state that we can actually really feel good about ourselves, because that's who we are. Yanisha Sarvabhutanam. Krishna tells us that what is daytime for the conditioned soul is night for the devotee, and what is night and what is daytime for the devotee is night for the conditioned soul. Their values are very different. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells about that banyan tree on the bank of the lake. What is the highest point of the tree is the lowest point in the reflection. It's very opposite. We should not be swayed by these misconceptions. Devotees should encourage one another. Devotees should appreciate one another. Devotees should give value to one another. That is our service to one another. To receive it, we should be grateful and humbled. But more important for us than receiving it is to give it. Srila Prabhupada made every devotee feel so totally valuable. There are many stories. Some devotees would distribute hundreds of books a day. Some devotees had large communities developing buildings and projects worth hundreds and thousands of dollars. Some devotees were managing and leading countries. Prabhupada gave them a tremendous amount of encouragement and really appreciated what they did. But a mother who had a baby, someone who just picked a flower and offered it to him, he would also give them the same type of encouragement and feel that I'm very important in this Krishna consciousness movement. And when Srila Prabhupada did that with everyone, he was showing us how we should deal with each other. Prabhupada would make the person making Charanamrit feel like they were so important. Someone milking the cows, he would come and make them feel like they're just so important. He had that magic to make everyone feel so important in Krishna's service. But it didn't make us proud. It made us grateful. It made us want to do more. You see, devotees make advancement when they become more and more enthusiastic to serve to a greater degree with their body, mind, words, and life. And when we encourage each other, when we make each other feel that our service is valuable, we help devotees to be more enthused. That is a great service. It is essential service. This is very much a part of what it means to serve the Vaishnavas. This subject matter is so important to hear again and again, because we come to this material world because we're thinking in terms of I and mine. I want to be the master. And we remain in this world as long as we want to remain the master. And our Krishna consciousness is hollow and superficial as long as we want to be the master. So we come here every year to Pune to hear about and to develop a real service attitude. A service attitude wherein we understand how much we need each other. A friend in need is a friend indeed. It's so beautiful to see devotees who have been for many years, who develop very deep, real, loving relationships with each other. Within the Brahmachari ashram, among the grihastas, the men, the ladies, they're there for each other. That is Vaishnav society. So let us strive to activate these principles in our lives.
that is where we will find Krishna. That is where we will actually find the heart of the spiritual master and all the previous acharyas, in our humble, sincere, enthusiastic service attitude, in our loving relationships with Vaishnavas, centered around devotional service. And that is where we will find Krishna manifesting, when we chant our japa and when we perform together kirtan of the holy names. I sincerely offer my deepest gratitude to Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Radha Priya, Mataji, and their family, and all the devotees who have participated by doing big things or small things to make this wonderful event possible. When I look out to see all of these devotees, I feel like I'm in the Mayapur Yatra again. It's very beautiful. While here, we have certain rules. Rules that we should impose on ourselves. First, no prajalpa. Does everyone know what is prajalpa? I think we all have a lot of experience and realization on the subject. Prajalpa means speaking sound vibrations that do not help one another to advance in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada says that real silence is to only speak that which is pleasing to Krishna. So let us very much follow this principle. Ideally, every day of your life for the rest of eternity. But we want to establish that principle very strong during this Pune Yatra. It's not that I'll struggle and restrain this prajalpa for the Pune Yatra and then Sunday afternoon, we just let it pour out. Better like that than not at all. But the idea is we want to restrain it and replace it. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matpara. Krishna says in Gita, we must restrain the senses and fix the mind on Krishna. So we strain these lower propensities, but we engage those propensities in very positive Krishna katha. Talking about devotional service, talking about Krishna's pastimes, talking about Krishna's teachings, chanting the holy names. How can I serve you, Prabhu? From our hearts. And let us not waste any time. We only have about 4 days. Let us just absorb as much spiritual energy in these 4 days as possible. Recharge our consciousness very intensely by absorbing our hearts in Vaishnava relationships, service to the Vaishnavas, Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan, and Prasad Seva. When we're honoring Prasad, it's actually a reciprocation. Devotees have worked so hard to prepare this Prasad. It's offered to Krishna. Devotees have made the offering. When devotees cook, it's for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. And when you cook for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, when you offer it to Krishna, he really, really enjoys it. Yes. It is said Sachi Mata, she would offer everything to Krishna, but everything she cooked was sweeter than nectar. There was so much love and so much devotion in it. In Pandarapur, Sri Rangapuri told Lord Chaitanya that she served every sadhu like her own son. She was the mother of the universe. Anybody that came to her house, she would cook for them like she cooked for her own son, Nimai. Can you imagine that love? And when that was offered to the deities, how much Krishna put his full potency of his mercy in that bhoga? So when you're eating prasad, by eating it, by enjoying it, you're actually reciprocating with Krishna who put his mercy into it, and with all the Vaishnavas who have put so much of their love into it. And we make such great spiritual advancement. Now, if you work really hard to give someone prasad and they don't like it, are you happy? The idea is you're trying to please the Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada said we should enjoy prasad. But the real way of enjoying prasad is we're enjoying to reciprocate with the love of those who cooked it and with Krishna who bestowed his mercy in it. When Krishna sees we're enjoying taking his mercy and the Vaishnavas see we're enjoying taking their love, they enjoy. So really, taking prasad in an assembly like this, it's a meditation on reciprocating love. It is of Rupa Goswami tells six loving exchanges. One is giving prasad, and the other is eating prasad. Yes. Those who are making the prasad, all these hundreds of devotees are making prasad every day here at Pune. They're doing it for you. And they're enjoying doing it for you. They're blissful. I can guarantee, talk to those big, big business people and ask them if they're enjoying more counting all their lakhs of rupees in the office or counting the peas when they're taking them out of the pods. They're blissful. They're serving Vaishnavas. They're enjoying serving you. And their enjoyment is not for their own enjoyment. They're enjoying naturally. It comes spontaneously because they're serving the Vaishnavas. It's blissful. They're serving the Vaishnavas with the Vaishnavas. That's a loving exchange, Rupa Goswami says. And when we accept it and we reciprocate by appreciating what they've done for us and enjoying the prasad because it's coming from Krishna, it's coming from the Vaishnavas' love, that's a loving exchange.
and to reveal each other's hearts, to develop deeper relationships centered around Krishna. That's what Rupa Goswami is talking about. Not just dumping all the garbage in your mind on someone, but revealing your mind to get help from someone, or to give help to someone, to develop deeper, real spiritual relationships through the process of speaking and hearing and giving gifts and receiving gifts. The gift may come in many forms. Maybe a flower, maybe a garland, maybe some material, apparently material gift that is spiritualized because we're giving it to someone to help them in their devotional service. To inspire, to encourage someone. But the greatest gift, the greatest of all gifts that we can give to each other is to serve by being a good example, to help inspire someone. And if we are inspired by that person who's trying to inspire us, that's a loving exchange. If we are encouraged by that person who's trying to encourage us, that's a loving exchange. So really, if we follow these principles of Rupa Goswami, it's all nothing but happiness. Reciprocating with devotees through these six forms, it's happiness in giving, it's happiness in receiving. But receiving is giving, and giving is receiving. And receiving is giving. I don't know if that makes sense. But it's all in a spirit of servitude. It's all in a spirit of reciprocation. It's all in a spirit of giving love. When we take the gift, we're giving love by how we take it. When we give the gift, we're giving love by how we give it. And what is love? Sharing Krishna. Inspiring each other to love Krishna. Please have a wonderful, happy Punayatra. It is all by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who gave us this philosophy, gave us this culture, gave us the grace of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the Pancha Tattva, all the Acharyas in our parampara, their loving mercy. He's distributing it all to us, full-fledged, unconditionally. And to the extent we're grateful to Him and show our gratitude by sharing this with each other, we will individually and collectively prosper in our Krishna consciousness and taste the sweet, unlimited nectar of the holy name. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have many special guests who we will welcome tomorrow. Actually, everyone is a special guest, except me. You are all, everyone is a special guest. Some persons, because of some special position, Prabhupada disciple or like that, we will give special honors to. But actually,
each and every person here is a special guest. And we'd like to welcome each and every one of you with garlands and chandan and speak your glories. But 3,200 people, I don't know how that would work. But I, from my heart of hearts, I want to welcome each and every one of you. And I thank you so much for being here. We have with us His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj. He's very much a part of the family of our devotees here in India. He comes more than anyone else. He's very steadfast, renounced, humble, and completely dedicated to Srila Prabhupada and to the principles of bhakti. He's also one of my very oldest friends in Krishna consciousness. We have been serving together, directly or indirectly, since 1973. How many years is that? 35. It is our 35th anniversary. And I've never seen anything but sincere, selfless endeavors for devotional service in his life every day. He loves devotees. He loves to see devotees make spiritual progress. That is a sign of a real Vaishnava. When we find ecstasy in others making advancement. When we feel ecstasy in seeing others getting mercy. Common people are envious. But Vaishnava really, in a true sense, means without envy. Really being a servant. Chandramali Maharaj very much exemplifies these holy principles. Let us very enthusiastically welcome him. And we have Mahamuni Prabhu. Who is one of my very dearest friends. I just always so happy to be with him. His love for Srila Prabhupada, his commitment to Krishna consciousness is as big as he is, and much more. How he came to Krishna consciousness is an amazing story. He was in the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War, in the front lines of combat, and he was a commander of a whole troop or platoon of soldiers. Hare Krishna. And came back after serving his time in the army during war, horrible situation. That war, seeing people dying, seeing people getting their limbs blown off, seeing people become totally depressed and psychiatrically insane, Seeing people under the stress become drug addicts. That's what military is like. He came back, and practically within days of coming home, he was in the Hare Krishna temple. Came back and found out some of his friends were, where are they? He heard about Krishna from them. And almost immediately, he was made temple commander. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. When Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was in his last days, last weeks, let us say, Mahamuni Prabhu was there at Gita Nagari. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was remembering how for some time Mahamuni Prabhu was his temple commander when he was a new devotee. And Mahamuni Prabhu was quite a strict temple commander. He had military training that he was dovetailing in devotional service. Always very kind, compassionate, loving to devotees, but he expressed that love by his being the commander. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was so thin and frail, and I can't explain, he was in his last stages of cancer. Yeah, he just lift something and his bone would break. It was very frail. He was remembering Mahamuni Prabhu, and he said, when you were my temple commander, he said, you were very strict. He said, I want to punch you in the jaw. Yes. And Mahamuni Prabhu said, do it, Maharaj, punch me in the jaw. He said, I will punch you in the jaw. He said it a couple times. One night, I was with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, as I was every afternoon. And when I was leaving, Agnihotra Devi Dasi, she prepared soul food for Maharaj. Now, in India, you don't know what soul food is. But I'm not going to explain it too much. Essentially, it's prasad. But it's a certain culture of prasad. And she was explaining everything on the menu. And the thing that really attracted me was barbecued curd steaks in hickory sauce. Yeah, like that. So I went to give a lecture at the temple, and I came back, and she put in my van the remnants of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, of all this soul food, prasad. It was his maha prasad. And as we're driving, I was driving Mahamuni Prabhu. I was his chauffeur. We're driving, and he said, what is that smell? And I said, that's barbecued curd steaks with hickory sauce. It's Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's maha prasad. So we got back to the house we're staying, Yadunandan Prabhu and Taruni Prabhu, and we had the prasad. And then we went to take rest in the same room. And the next morning I got up. I was supposed to give class in the temple that morning. And when I got up, I saw Mahamuni Prabhu just sitting in the corner. Just his face was red. He was holding his jaw. And he was just moaning in pain. Oh. So what happened? And he said, he did it.
I said, who did what? He said, he did it, he did it. I said, who did what? He said, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He punched me in the jaw. He said, his Maha Maha Prasad, the hickory sauce, it went into some bridge in his teeth or something, right? It went. The hickory sauce seeped into his gum and knocked the tooth out of the bone. His face was swollen. He said, his Maha Maha Prasad, he said he would punch me in the jaw and through his Maha Maha Prasad, he did it. And he was suffering. And half of my heart was really in pain to see him in such suffering. And half of my heart was in ecstasy. Just to witness the power of Mahaprasad. He said, I can't go to the temple. I'm in too much pain. I didn't sleep last night. He was suffering all night long. So I went and gave class. And at the summit of the class, I told that story. And everyone was really, they really liked that story. Because they were all Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's disciples. So hearing the power of his Maha Maha Prasad really enlivened their hearts. So after class, sometime a little later, Mahamuni Prabhu came to the temple, and he will tell you what happened when he came to the temple.
Oh, you want me to tell mom?
Yes, you can tell them.
Hare Krishna. As I came to the temple, I didn't know Maharaj had told this story about the power of Mahaprasad. And so many devotees were greeting me. Oh, Haribo! Haribo, how's your jaw? I go, what? I had no idea what they were talking about. I didn't know that they knew that my jaw was all messed up. And I go, how did you know? He said, Maharaj told in the class the power of Mahaprasad. And so they continue. And even obscure devotees, you know, they'd come down out of the ashram like mothers I didn't even know. They go, oh, Haribo, look at your jaw. How's your jaw? And they all greeted me the same way, laughing. No compassion. Just laughing that Maharaj had given me the Shakti. Actually, later I went to Maharaj and I begged. I had to go. Can I tell this part? I had to go to the dentist. I had to leave the Gitanagari farm, go to the dentist. I thought it was some sauce had gotten under my bridge. You know, I had a bridge there. I went to the dentist and they took the x-ray and said, no, the bone, the tooth is knocked completely out of the bone somehow. And they had to cut the bridge off and make this, take this whole thing. The tooth just came right out. It was already out of the jaw. And the whole thing was, they had to just take it out. Now I have a space there. And when I went back to the temple, I went to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and I bowed down to him and I said, Maharaj, you know, you're lying down here. You're way too powerful to make those kind of jokes. You know? And he laughed and he said, I know. I'm sorry. And then I was thinking, I don't think that was a joke. I think he really wanted to punch me in the jaw. He said, I always wanted to beat up Mahamuni. You know? But he was too big, so I knew he would come back and beat me up. So then he tried to punch me in the jaw. So, but he knew his Shakti was there. I think he knew. He sent me that. And he was like, okay, I know. I'm sorry. So very powerful.
Devotees are paradukaduki. They're always happy to see another devotee suffer. In some instances. But before Mahamuni Prabhu came to see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I told Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj what happened. And he smiled, and he raised his little fist, and he said, "I told you I would punch him in the jaw." He wasn't even surprised at all when I told him. Let us very enthusiastically welcome Mahamuni Prabhu. And we also have His Grace Soma Prabhu, Soma Das Prabhu. He came to Krishna consciousness in 69, 1970. He joined this movement in Boston, and wonderful, wonderful devotee. He's remained faithful in Srila Prabhupada's service throughout the years. And some of his wonderful contributions, he personally carved the deity of Lord Narasimhadev at New Vrindavan. And Jai and Vijay, and he helped to, as a carpenter, to build so many of the temples, guest house. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman he carved that are now at Tawako, New Jersey. Which other deities? Also elephants and cows, big beautiful, in the gardens of New Vrindavan. But Soma Prabhu, very humble, very sincere, very genuine. And we're so grateful that he is here. He's also an excellent mridanga player. And we were serving together since about 1972. Okay? Since 1972. In fact, have you ever heard the story of how I was a pujari for about 7 years at the Brahmachari ashram of Radha Vrindavanath? Well, in the end of 73, beginning of 74, the Brahmacharis were sent up to this original New Vrindavan, which was a mountain 3 miles through mud road on the top of a hill, very isolated, very primitive life, and there was deities of Radha Vrindavanath. And when we first went up there, I was in charge of the cows, Gargarishi Prabhu was in charge of cooking, and Soma Prabhu was the head pujari. Yes? So I was taking care of cows and assisting him as a pujari. But then, very soon, was it just weeks or a couple months at the most? Very soon after that, Soma Prabhu decided to get married. Arivo. By the arrangement of Radha Vrindavanath, he decided to get married. So he had to move down. So then the president, Param Brahma Prabhu, said that now we need a pujari. So you can be in charge of the cows and be the pujari. So that's how I became a pujari, because Soma Prabhu got married. So So I owe all my pujari experience to Soma's getting married. And then a couple weeks later, Gargarishi Prabhu, the cook, got married. So I was told that you're in charge of the cows, you're also in charge of the pujari work, and now you should do all the cooking because everyone's gotten married. So then I was in charge of all three. And I didn't know how to cook. So one devotee just came up to the farm, Sudanu Prabhu, and he cooked all six offerings. One day he came up and I just took notes of everything he did, and then he left, and then I had to cook all six offerings on the basis of what I learned by watching him one day. But then gradually other cooks, I think Krishnamurti, Hankar, Mangalananda Prabhu, and Chandramali Maharaj came toward the end. So Soma Prabhu and I really deeply love him. Let us welcome Soma Prabhu. And somewhere in this ocean, it looks like an ocean, and each devotee is like a wave in that ocean. Somewhere in this sea of Vaishnavas is Sukavaha Prabhu and Nartaki Prabhu. But we will welcome them when they are more visible. Are you here? Let us welcome them with great enthusiasm to the Puna Yatra, please. And now we would like to first ask if there is a schedule that we should follow. Does anyone know what the schedule is? Is prasad before or after Gaur Aarti? Huh? After Gaur Aarti is prasad? Okay. When is Gaur Aarti? So we'd like to ask Maharaj, Mahamuni Prabhu, and Soma Prabhu to speak a few words to encourage all the Vaishnavas at this time. Thank you very much.
Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastyatya De Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunatananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaudavakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I wasn't thinking I would be speaking tonight, so this is all spontaneous, hopefully. It will be pleasing to the devotees. I think I've lost count. I've been to many, many Puna Yatras, and each one is, for me, a very powerful experience of what Maharaj was talking about tonight, Vaishnava Association, glorifying the Lord by chanting the holy names of the Lord, serving the Vaishnava in that association, and just developing relationships with devotees, taking Krishna Prasadam, and just diving deeply into the essence of Krishna consciousness. So I'm very happy to be here. In fact, I was looking forward to this particular one, because for about a month now I've been away from direct Krishna conscious activities, doing some activities trying to help my health a little so I can continue with my service. So for me, this is like a really opportunity to really again enter deeply into the process of Krishna consciousness. When Maharaj was speaking, I was thinking what to say, and every time I thought of something to say, he said it. And then I would think of something else, and then he said it, and then after a while I gave up. So, but one thing that, of course, Maharaj did hit on, which was really the essential principle, was to cultivate that mood of humble submission and service to the Vaishnav. And in the cultivation, we have to understand one thing that is there, and that is we still may have tendencies towards material activities or to material desires, or just a little bit awkward in our activities of how to serve Vaishnavas, how to reciprocate in a loving way with Vaishnavas. So these tendencies coming from the material side will push us to act in the same way. But we should be careful not to act upon these tendencies and be very much in the mood of cultivating that mood. Because, as Maharaj was saying, it's a conscious cultivation of Krishna consciousness in applying the principles in the very moment-to-moment, day-to-day activities of our service to the Lord and devotees. And it's not artificial to cultivate these things, because the nature of the soul is the pure qualities of the soul. Humility, which is the natural position of the soul's relationship to the Supreme. And therefore, to cultivate that quality and associate with devotees in the process of serving means to bring out that quality that is there, which is natural. It's not artificial. Sometimes people think that we should... This is not a popular thought anymore, but in some areas it is. People think we should act the way we feel, because it's artificial to do something other than how you feel. But our feelings are also, and our characteristics and personalities have developed an association with matter. So this is our conditioned nature. So to act on those things means to act contrary to our spiritual nature. So in that mood of trying to become the humble servant of the Vaishnavas and to develop loving relationships with the Vaishnavas, we also have to be very careful not to allow these material tendencies to jump there and in there, because they will. They will, because they're still part of our conditioned nature. So we have to practice this mood. And as Maharaj emphasized, using scriptural points, that there are six loving exchanges: to give prasadam and to receive prasadam. Srila Prabhupada, in the early days of the movement, he would get very questions that were very simple and sometimes very naive. One question was asked, some devotees like to eat prasadam and some devotees like to serve prasadam. So which is better? And that was the question that was posed to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said they're the same. They're the same. Why? Because the principle is exchange of Krishna. Krishna is being given in the form of prasadam, and Krishna is being received in the form of prasadam. So the focus is on prasadam seva. So both are absolute because the medium is the exchange of our relationship with each other based on the principle of prasadam being Krishna. To open one's mind confidentially and to hear confidential thoughts, Srila Rupa Goswami gives one essential principle. He says that also means to speak about the glories of the Lord, because the topics of the Lord actually are confidential. So when we remind each other of Krishna by speaking pastimes or speaking philosophical principles related to Krishna consciousness, then we're actually exchanging in a loving way with another Vaishnava. It is also like giving a gift. We're giving the gift of Krishna in the form of Krishna Katha. We're receiving the gift of Krishna and by hearing Krishna Katha. So these six loving exchanges are the essence of Vaishnava association. And this Punayatra is, from what I can understand from my previous experiences, that this is a very powerful way to concentrate on these six loving exchanges. So we're all fortunate to be able to be here and to be able to dive deeply into this Krishna consciousness, because as the scriptures mention, hearing and chanting the glories in the Lord in the association with Vaishnavas is the essence of bhakti. It's mentioned by the acharyas. In fact, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, practically in answering all questions related to Krishna consciousness, always comes back to this point that to hear Krishna Katha, to speak Krishna Katha, to remember Krishna is the essence of Krishna consciousness. So please, as Maharaj gave the consideration, those things that will take away from the opportunity to dive deeply, we should very carefully avoid. And that is prajalpa, or just things that are unnecessary. Just like, you know, every day I have to answer emails, because I get emails and there's people I have to respond to. So I'm thinking now for these 4 days, I'm not going to turn my computer on. Not at all. And I even told Mahamuni, if he sees me near my computer, he should chastise me. Because I want to focus on what this whole Punayatra is about. This chanting, dancing, associating with devotees, developing more friendly relationships, with strengthening those relations that are already there, and developing new relationships with other Vaishnavas. And as we do that, not only do we feel happy, but we also feel very much protected from the material energy. We feel safe in the association of devotees, in this mood of hearing and chanting and associating with devotees. So please, and just to repeat, the essence of Maharaj's presentation is take this very seriously and take it as an opportunity to really, really taste the happiness that is there, Kevala Nanda Kanda, the sweetness, the happiness of Bhakti Yoga, by hearing and chanting in association with devotees and developing that mood of service to the Vaishnavas. And I want to thank, I was just thinking the other day, it was about 2 days before the yatra, I was thinking, this is so wonderful. You know, how many, you know, people around the world are doing such projects like this, the coming together for 4 days, or just focusing on this. It's a very rare thing, but it's the essence. So in my heart, I was appreciating the fact that this is going on, and the devotees that are working so hard to make this project or this satsang possible. You know, they're sacrificing, many of them are sacrificing the opportunity to take part in all the activities, so that we can all, you know, experience the essence of Krishna consciousness. So I want to thank Maharaj from the bottom of my heart for inspiring the devotees to surrender and to put on this wonderful festival and to continue to inspire us in that proper mood of how to associate with devotees and to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And as Maharaj said, it just looks like a big ocean of devotees out here. As I'm looking, I'm seeing, it's just like, it's such a wonderful scene. You should sit up here and just look out. It's, the devotees look so effulgent. And it's just pleasing to be here and to see all the wonderful devotees come together in this mood. So thank you very much. And please dive deeply into this 3.5 days of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani. Namaste Sadatati Devam Gauravani Pachani Nirvasesya Sunyavadi Paska Chade Satan. I'm very grateful to be here amongst all of you. In the last couple months, I feel very fortunate to be absorbed into your association during the marathon, and you allowed me to participate with you and associate with you, attend different functions, and I felt such nice kindness and loving exchange from all of you, and I feel very humbled that, you know, that I can sit up here and be invited. I especially want to thank Krishna Chandra Prabhu and his wonderful wife for allowing me to come into their house every year for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, maybe even more. I've been wanting to come here every year, and something happens and I can come at the last minute. Someone asked me this morning, are you going to Pune Yatra? I said, that's my plan, but I'm not there yet, so we'll wait and we'll see what happens. Because each year somehow Krishna puts some obstacle and I'm not able to come. But I wanted to appreciate Krishna Chandra Prabhu. I went to an annual day function at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And here's a very important man in the hospital. He's a busy businessman. He's got so many... And he leans over when the devotees are talking and he translates for me. He apologizes. He said, my Hindi is not my first language. And he translated for me the whole time. He didn't have to, but I was thinking, this person is a devotee first. And then he is all those other things that go behind his name. And I was very happy to have his association. I was thinking how he has developed. I never knew him before. I've met him at a couple of different occasions. One time I went to his house. I took one of Sridhar Maharaj's disciples there because they were on the marriage board, and I was trying to help Sridhar Maharaj get some of his disciples married. So, but he's always been very kind to me, and I just wanted to thank him very much and his wife for letting me come here. I was thinking, on the way here, I was talking to Soma Prabhu. We were talking about Kumbh Mela. And I was pointing out how mystical it is that, you know, you go to this place and the water's all up on the bank, and in a couple of days it's very dry, and a whole city comes up. A whole city's there. They put plumbing in, they put toilets, they put tents come up, and then they make these buildings out of bamboo and paper, cloth. And they look like buildings. Some of them look like stones. They look like castles. As you walk up, I'm amazed at the way they look. And this amazing facade that's created in just days. And I was thinking, here in India, they are very expert at making. You can go to a wedding. You go to these weddings sometime. It looks like these palaces. They make out of cloth and bamboo. And you walk in, the lights are there, they have chandeliers. Even here in this tent, we have chandeliers. And I was thinking, But it's all a facade. It looks like a palace, but it's a facade. It's not real. And in just a few days, even if there's a big storm, I was at one festival one time, a big windstorm came, and the whole thing lifted up and started falling down. And another time I was in Vrindavan, there was a function, they had these nice things, and it caught on fire and started burning like anything. And I was thinking, just in a moment, you know, these things can fall down. And Maharaj was talking about, you walk to someone's house and you don't say to them, oh, you have a wonderful foundation here. But if it falls down, you criticize. What a cheap foundation. You must have had some poor builder here. But then I began to think, as he was speaking about, sometimes in Krishna consciousness, we like to look really good on the outside. You know, we wrap our chadars very nicely and we put our tilak on very nicely. But inside, we're kind of shaking and weak. And sometimes we're afraid to engage in the six exchanges of love, to reveal our mind and tell that maybe we're not as advanced as we present ourselves. Sometimes we present ourselves as very advanced. And there's a certain facade there. You know, in our room alone at night, we know our weakness. We know, you know, that Krishna knows we're not what they think we are, you see. And sometimes we kind of help them think that we're something that we're not by our presentation. And I was thinking how wonderful it is to come to a place like this with all these wonderful devotees and all this opportunity to do what you did at Radhigopinath Mandir. That mandir is 120 years old. The foundation was kind of rotting. The building, you know, the floors, everything, the whole building had to be reinforced. It had to go down and restructure the foundation, restructure the flooring, restructure, rebuild it. But it was built by the loving exchanges of the devotees and not by the carpenters and not by the bricklayers and not by the stonemasons. It was built by the enthusiasm to have loving exchanges that rebuilt Radhagopinath Temple from Tinkerbell High School and whatever else had happened to be to this place where devotees can come and have these exchanges. It was about the devotees coming together and re-bricking and reconstructing their own life. And I was thinking how rare it is to come to a place like this. So if we have any chinks in our armor or any weak spots in our foundation, we can come here and remove the old brick or chip out some old mortar and, you know, strengthen our japa and strengthen our determination to serve Krishna and to hear from Vaishnavas who have a lot of experience and just engage in chanting and dancing and rebuild our own spiritual life and get our foundation strong so that when we leave here, you know, that hopefully at the end of on Sunday that we don't burst into the prajapa like Maharaj said, that we can let it out slowly, you know, like when you let the air out of a balloon and makes a zzz, you know, a little bit like that. We can let it out slowly. Maybe over the weeks we can, if we really have to talk prajapa, we can let it out. Because our foundation will be stronger. We'll want to talk about Krishna. We'll want to hear about Krishna. And as Maharaj was speaking, the more he spoke, the more I thought about this idea that, yeah, we can look good on the outside. We can create all of these images. And even sometimes we see, you know, I won't go there. But we see in our own lives that we have to reassess ourselves each day. It's actually, you could do it each hour. With me, I can do it every minute. Oh God, I did it again. Oh God, I did it again. I forgot Krishna. So each day we can go and do a moral inventory of ourselves and a spiritual inventory of ourselves. And maybe at the end of the night, write. Prabhupada encouraged that we write each day, that you write some of your realizations so that you can structure, the foundation. If it might, most of you, I don't know, you may all have firm foundations and very sound and going on. I don't know. I as I look out here, I think, wow, they're all pure devotees. But, you know, in my own life, when I look in the mirror, I know that there's places that I can, you know, put a little more holy name or put a little more humility or put a little more, you know, these building blocks of Krishna consciousness, like Maharaj was talking about. And I think this is a great opportunity to come and re-secure our foundation and whatever it needs. And if you have a great foundation, then maybe make it a little broader so that you can build higher and higher in your spiritual life. That Bhakti Lata Bija, you know, it talks about how that it goes all the way to the spiritual world, to the lotus feet of Krishna. So maybe we need to make our foundation a little bigger and so we can go higher and higher with our Bhakti Lata. So I want to thank you again for allowing me to come here, and I'm hoping that I can restructure my foundation and be able to associate with you, maybe if you're a good stonemason. That's why I always like to be with Soma Prabhu, because he's expert builder. He's expert. He can build anything. And every time I see him, I become very happy. And he has all the things I don't have, spiritually and materially. And I think, wow, what a wonderful opportunity. You know, it's opposites attract. You know, I have nothing. He has everything. I'll go over there, you know, and we'll get a good solid foundation. So when you find devotees that you're very happy with and you're happy to see them and you're happy to be around them, then seek out that association and take shelter and firm up your foundation so that when the wind blows, that we're, you know, the facade doesn't fall over, that, you know, we're for real and we're solid, because this is a temple of the Lord and we can build it, you know, in loving exchanges. So I want to thank Maharaj for helping me to come here, and I'll stop now and maybe we can hear from Soma Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you again.
Today, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine, Nevasesha Sunyavadi Pastatade Shatarne. It's true in a sense that we're opposites, because he can speak very nicely, very forcefully, and I'm not very used to speaking, especially in front of a large crowd. But I'm very happy to be here. I came here last year, and I had such a wonderful experience that I was just thinking about coming back to Puniyatra for the whole year. And now I'm happy to be here amongst all these wonderful Vaishnavas. Actually, I don't deserve to be up here. I can see so many more, everyone more advanced than me, that should be sitting up here. And I want to, of course, thank Radhanath Maharaj for inviting me. And this year, the first thing that he said to me when I came here a few days ago, he said, "Welcome home." And that really made me feel good. So thank you for that. And just a quick story. When Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan in 1974, and he took a tour of Prabhupada's palace, which was only just a mud floor and some cement blocks, no roof. And Kirtanananda was just showing Prabhupada around the palace, explaining what was what, and Prabhupada was just beaming, smiling, seeing this, you know, humble attempt. And another devotee said, "You know, Srila Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, it says that Krishna's palaces were illuminated with the jewels on the walls." And of course, the palace there was just, you know, mud floor and cement blocks. But Prabhupada just lifted his cane and he waved to the devotees and he said, "These devotees are my jewels." And it was such a wonderful thing. And as I look now, out now, all these assembled devotees here, you're just like jewels. And I think you're a real credit to Radhanath Maharaj's purity in direction. And I think you should be very proud of yourself, actually. Because actually you are just like jewels. So anyways, thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Krishna. So just a few announcements. Tomorrow morning we will assemble here in the pandal at 6 a.m.